This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Sometimes you just got to let go and let God, you know, I said to you, like, let's just hit record and see what happens.
It was shot in the dark. Shot in the dark. No.
You're welcome, listeners.
No, we're pros. We're pros. Think,
oh, wow, self-call. Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, Chip.
Happy Friday.
How was your week? Friday.
I know. Well, we're faking it.
Hey, I know.
It's showbiz, baby. Razzle dazzle.
It's Tuesday for us, but this will be airing on Friday. I'm actually traveling, so we're getting ahead of schedule. I enjoy being ahead of schedule on the podcast.
Yeah,
it's
less stressful for sure.
Because I feel
like when we're not ahead of it, we're like, oh shit, it's Thursday. We got to get this shit done.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes with the Edge podcast, we do try to wait because it's like some of the topics we were making more timely. And so it felt like we needed to do it the day before, but it's just not very realistic with our schedules. So here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know why I felt the need to tattle on us that it's a Tuesday, but
well,
anyway.
I think it's important. You know, it's another example of like doing things when you can. And it's thank God for Zoom, you know, not a sponsor, but like prior to this, like we would have had to have gotten in a room together, you know, it's wild. Or I guess done it over the phone. Did you ever do that?
I did a couple times way back in the day. Yeah. It's so funny. I forgot about that because Zoom really came to life for me during the pandemic.
Yeah. I'd like, never heard of it before that.
I got really acquainted with it. Everything else I did used to do in person or we would try to, I had to do a couple over the phone, but the sound was terrible. So, mm-hmm. You know. Anyway, happy Friday, everyone. It is the end of the month, which, again, we do this every month, too, with time. But, like, I can't believe it. It's been so fast. And every time I'm busy, I just feel like I lose time. And I'm trying to be more conscious of that, actually, because it's, like, a little bit sad. Like, I feel like I'm missing part of the summer because June's almost over.
It's wild. I don't know if I've ever said this on here, so tell me to shut up if I have, but
I would never tell you to shut up.
The theory that like, you know, my parents used to always say to me like, you know, enjoy your childhood because time starts to fly when you're older. And, you know, the idea that like when you're a kid, the summer, 3 months of summer is such a fraction of your overall life.
Right.
And now that I'm turning the corner to 50, it's like 3 months is not a lot of time anymore. So the older you get, a summer feels shorter because it's such a smaller fraction of your life.
Well, and we're still working.
Right.
Whereas as a child, you like have the time off, which is amazing. But I think you have a little more of like the feeling of that, having the time off or whatever just makes time go slower.
Yeah. Yeah. Although a vacation does fly by in my adulthood now.
Whoa.
Bless you.
Sorry, that sneeze has been trying to come out since we started recording.
Hey, you guys, we're real here. We're just like
real life situations. Do you want to give me a catch up on like what's happening with you? I feel like I've been so in work mode that I don't even know. So why don't you tell me and the listeners any updates in your life? Do you have anything for us?
What are some good updates for me? I mean, I survived CMA Fest.
That was a wild time.
It was a wild time. It was good though. But yeah. It's, you know, I'm still tired from it. I don't recover like I used to.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, went out on the road for a couple of days, which was fun. But also, again, like, did not sleep that great. And I might have been overserved on Friday.
It's funny. I heard this about you, which is what I wanted to talk about.
I was wondering if you heckled a magician, like making fart noises. And
so why don't you tell us what was going on? Because I actually went to Bonnaroo on Sunday and was told a little bit about you that weekend. And someone said to me, does Chip, like, the next day have anxiety? And I was like, no. I've never experienced Chip feeling like, oh gosh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. You just laugh it off.
I mean, I did ask, like, do I need to be embarrassed?
Oh, okay.
And then I saw a video and I was like,
oh boy.
I mean, I blame the bartender because
I drank
the drinks, but they were stiff. And anyway, my sister and brother-in-law and my nieces came to the show. We were in Raleigh, North Carolina. And
yeah,
I just had a good time. And
it was the week after CMA Fest too. Yeah. So you were kind of like burning steam.
Like letting loose, and it was all in good fun. And I was very, there's video of it. So there was a magician that came backstage after the show. And
who was it?
Mike?
I was going to say, is it Magic Mike?
I think it is, yeah.
Not to be confused with the Channing Tatum movie.
Yeah, he kept his clothes on.
Yeah, he does keep his clothes on, but his magic's amazing.
He was doing magic, and there were kids at a table, and I was sitting at a table sort of in the corner just heckling him. And like
sounds
saying,
like you should have been at the kids' table.
I was like, but like, and making fart noises, God. And I had this like little fake microphone. But when I watched the videos of myself, like, I am struggling to stay awake. Like, you can tell that's all I'm trying to do. It's just stay awake.
You
know, I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
But whatever, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
Okay. I stayed nice other than
that's always good. Well, yeah. But other than heckling the magician.
Yeah.
You remember that time that me and Mary went to House of Cards? You also
I think you have a thing
about heckling magicians.
Magicians, yeah. Well, that was, I mean, I can't speak to how good Magic Mike was because I don't even remember being in a room with a magician. I can tell you that when we heckled the guy at House of Cards, like, he was a really bad magician.
Well, he was a bad one, yes.
And he thought he was funny too, and it wasn't funny. So it's just like out of the gate, we were like, I can't deal. Like, we're stuck here.
Well, don't put me in that category.
I know. Mary Hilliard and I were doing it.
I was gonna say, like, it was the two of y'all. I get so stressed out in those situations when y'all are being loud. I'm like, I wanna die. I don't want to be associated with these people. Like, it's so stressful to me. I wanted to like crawl out of the room myself.
It's all in good fun.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's very fun for them.
Yeah, probably not.
I always think it's funny. Like, when you blamed it on the bartender just then, it was like, have you ever heard people the next morning after a big night? They're like, I think someone put something in my drink. Chelsea Handler always has this joke. And she's like, yeah, it's called vodka. Like, bitch, you fucking drank a lot.
Yeah,
like,
I did drink a lot.
Yeah. Well, I went to Bonnaroo this weekend, as I just mentioned, which is such a feat first of all, because I had CMA Fest through Sunday. Then that next Monday, I left town to go to Minneapolis and then New York for work. Came back home when I went to Bonnaroo after one day of rest, which is like, you know me. That is just, mm-hmm. That is a big accomplishment, but it was really fun. My client Kip Moore was playing, and then I saw Paramore. Who I don't really like, I wouldn't say their music is really my thing. Like,
right.
They're great, but it's just never really been my thing. Like, maybe a song or two of like Hayley Williams, though. Have you ever seen her perform live?
She's amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was shocked. She's amazing. I had no idea. She is such a performer. She's so charismatic. Like,
and her voice is killer.
Her voice is killer, but she also like moves around the stage and is doing basically backbends while she's mm-hmm. singing these amazing songs. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy how much she works the stage. I just had such a big respect for her. I kind of had a girl crush because she's just like so cute. You just want to be friends with her. Like she seems mm-hmm. really fun. She was amazing. Marcus Mumford, I am obsessed. Like,
did he play Mumford and Sons songs or just his solo stuff?
Okay, so he plays a couple Mumford and Sons songs. Then he does his solo stuff. Then he plays like other songs he's written for other artists, which he played this one I love by New Basement Tapes. I had no idea he had written it. Just like crazy. But like the fact that I've seen Mumford and Sons play at festivals before and I love mm-hmm. them. I mean, I love that first album. Like I wore it out with such a fan, but I've kind of forgotten about them if I'm being honest. Like, they just haven't been on my radar, maybe.
Right.
So when my friend Courtney was like, oh, Marcus Mumford's playing, we need to go see. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that guy. Wasn't really like overly excited, I wouldn't say. I was just kind of like, okay. The fact that he can walk on a huge stage at a music festival with one guitar and sing acoustically. No band.
Wow.
And it was a nighttime show. Like that's something maybe you would get away with in the daytime and kind of like, you know, like, it's just a dumbed down set. Like, it's just, okay, like that makes sense. His slot was an 8:30 slot.
Oh, wow.
And people are like Hammer, you know, like it's more of like the rockers, like Paramore and Foo Fighters, who I saw after him. But like, he went out there, he commands the stage. Then in between the songs, he's just talking and he's so funny. Of course, he has the cutest British accent. Like, I'm just obsessed. And he's so cute. Like, he has great style, like physically cute. He's just so cute. So anyway, new crush on him as well.
this might make you love him too. I remember early days of Mumford and Sons, rather than having a fan club, he started a book club that fans could join, and they would like read a book a month.
God,
and he would like do, I don't know if he did Zooms or how exactly it worked because I wasn't a member.
Oh,
of
he
it,
would like get on with them.
He was part of it, or maybe he would write a review, or it was, you know, like a Reddit style kind of thing. But he was interacting with them that way versus it just being like a normal old
like praise me
band club. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just funny too. He's like, you know, I tries to like watch what I'm saying in between songs. He's like, but when I'm up here by myself, there's a lot of time to kill. And so I just start talking. But then sometimes when it's just me, I'm a little more nervous too. So I have this anxious energy and I over talk. And he's like, I don't really realize all the curse words I say because some of the words don't mean the same thing where I'm from. Like, he's like, I use the word cunt a lot. And apparently that's a really
which is
bad
not
word
a bad
here.
Word. Yeah, it's a really bad word here, well, but here, not in the UK.
And here specifically it's directed towards women where he's like, when we use it, it's interchangeable. Like it's not, there's no gender tied to the word cunt. You know, he's like, I refer to my buddies as good cunts or bad cunts. Like it's just.
Right. Yeah.
So we were just
it's like their
laughing.
Version of asshole almost. Like,
yeah. And he's like.
What an then, asshole that guy. Yeah, you know, it's like you can like, be like a nice guy. Asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, and then I noticed the last show I did, there was this like 6-year-old boy in the front. And I'm like, gosh, I really got to watch what I was saying. But then I looked over at him and he was giggling and I was like, oh, he is a good cunt though. And I was like, God.
Brings it full circle.
Yes. Oh, just loved him. So, and then we saw Foo Fighters, who I didn't get to stay for their whole set because we needed to get back to town. But like Dave Grohl.
He's amazing.
I just.
Have you ever watched their doc? They've got a documentary called Back and Forth. And if
is that
you
what he's talking about
it,
driving a minivan?
Yeah. Well, he does in the, like. They, because, you know, obviously he came from Nirvana, like they could have gone straight into buses and trucks and all the things, but it was really important for him in the beginning to make it feel like it was a new band. So he purchased a van, and their first tour they did in a van.
Oh, I was talking about how he picks his kids up in carpool in a minivan. And I'm like, could you imagine?
Oh my God, I love that.
See Dave Grohl driving up to his kids' school to pick them up in a minivan. Like, I just love that. He's like a soccer dad.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love him.
He seems
like a good dad.
He just seems super down to earth. Yeah, it was kind of eerie. I'm not going to lie, because the drummer obviously passed away. And so they have who's the replacement guy?
His name's Josh Freese. Yeah, he's he played in Nine Inch Nails and a bunch of things.
I mean, he's also an amazing drummer. Yeah. But like it was just the whole
big shoes
thing
to fill. Yeah,
of course. And it just like it's kind of haunting. I don't know how else to say that. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was raining even, and I stayed through that, which, you know, for me is like, whoa, she must be having fun.
What'd you do with your hair?
I just let it go, man.
let go. Oh my God.
Lived the Foo Fighter moment.
It's a very British sort of festival experience to have it like get rainy and muddy. And it's like, are your own little Glastonbury.
Yeah. Well, I had it. I mean, for a couple songs at least. Anyway, it was an interesting experience. I mean, I love music festivals when I can like be present in them and just enjoy the music. So yeah, it was nice. It was really nice.
It's fun. I saw your Instagram post and I was like, oh, look at Kelly down there on the farm.
I was really proud of myself for rallying. It felt like a big rally because then I'm leaving again today. So anyway,
yeah,
these are not real problems. These are things to be grateful for. I'm just tired. But yeah, life has been really good over here. Let's talk about Confront a little bit. How did you feel about this month?
Well, you know, it was funny because I know that, and I think we talked about it on here when we first said the word, like, obviously we try and keep things light and fun on Friday for the edge.
Correct.
And Confront on the surface. And when we first landed on it, it felt confrontational, you know, like it doesn't sound like a light word.
No.
But I do think it's like we found some really interesting ways to look at it.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the day, we talk about communication being, you know, paramount to everything. And, you know, confrontation is a form of communication. And, you know, just like you can't know what real happiness is unless you like let yourself feel sad. And it's
right
again, it's like you can't be happy if you are sweeping mad under the rug too, or unhappy under the rug. And you know, sometimes you have to stand up for yourself. It's a self-preservation thing at times. So I thought it was really interesting to sort of look at, you know, how confrontation can be actually good. And, you know, I think it's as long as you're working toward a positive goal when you're confronting something, it's a good thing. It might not 100%. Be comfortable for either person, but I do think in the end, confrontation is really a superpower. Like if you can master confrontation, like you really could do anything because you'll know how to confront walls that you put up for yourself. You'll know how to confront walls that others put up for you. You'll know how to get through really hard times with whether it's relationships or people at work or any sort of, you know, partnership. Like it's really important because you know, nobody's going to do this life alone, you know, whether it's work or play or whatever. So I don't know. It was like in the end, I thought it was a really interesting word. I thought, you know, it played right into our hands.
It really did. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head as far as it allowing us to kind of live our best lives. Like that was something I talked to you. Remember our girl, Terry Cole, she's the boundary boss and she came on the edge actually a couple months ago and talked about how to set boundaries with us. I love her. She's a psychotherapist. She's the author obviously of that book, but I had her back on this week to talk about just what healthy confrontation looks like. And one of the points that she made was just, you know, you can't live life without having things to confront. You just can't. Like you can't have really true, authentic relationships without having something that comes up. Even if it's like the relationship is great, there's just going to be stuff. It's like two humans ever like navigating anything is going to, there's going to be differences.
There's outside forces too.
Yeah. We all have our own like past or our own shit or whatever it is. And so the more that we learn to do that in a healthy way, but also to take ownership of our own feelings and learn how to communicate about them. Just like you said, that really does open us up into like living a whole life, like a bigger life, a more aligned life. Things that we weren't even aware we were missing might fly in. And I just have such a peace about that and knowing that like the more we actually try to stuff that down. Like if you're not confronting anything in your life or having confrontation, healthy confrontation in your relationships, something is not authentic.
Right. Because
that's just like, you're not communicating. So I just think we miss out on so much. So I love the topic too. And it really did bring up a lot for me. Is there one thing like specifically you would say you learned?
Well, I mean, I definitely had to, you know, I won't go into specifics because it's work stuff and I am pretty open about some things, but like it was a challenging week last week and I had to sort of confront something and knowing that like I think because I had read so much about confrontation for this podcast, it gave me some of the skills to like feel comfortable in it, because it's like, look, I don't think it's good for people just to be confrontational people. You know, like that's not, I don't think the goal
like,
here.
We're
I think
not
it's
trying about to say this is like
healthy confrontation.
Yeah,
no, it's healthy confrontation. Yeah.
Sure.
And, you know, I think one of the most important things about confrontation is that you have built a rapport with somebody that mm-hmm. you're trying to save or rescue or whatever it is. And if the person knows that you're coming from a place of caring, then it makes it a whole lot easier, even if it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
So there, you know, there was a moment where I really had to stand up for myself at work, and I felt fine about it. And normally I wouldn't have, because mm-hmm. I would have been more worried about like the aftermath of it and just avoided the whole thing. But I can look at it now and then, like, if I hadn't done that, I would still be sitting in a place where I'm not comfortable.
Sure.
And that's not fair. You know, it's like, and we got past it, you know, it like,
right.
It's now in the past and no one's harping on it. We got through it and it's done. And had I not confronted it, I might still be dealing with it.
Well, also you set up, you told me the story, obviously, so I know it, but like to keep it vague. And so that it's not just like, talking details about your work life, but like, I feel like what you did, you were able to do it in a kind way. And it was also mm-hmm. like using your voice. So you stayed in your power. Like, I feel like so many times in the past, we both have been guilty of this, where we just give our power away because we want to keep the peace, mm-hmm. but it ends up coming back in the end, like in the future. Like
it does. It lingers.
And it sets the dynamic up to be one where that's going to happen again, because it's like, once it happens, and you give your power away, that's what you communicate to the other person is okay.
Right.
And so that would have just become the dynamic. And now hopefully it's like, no, we know Chip can't be walked all over or whatever it is. And, or it's going to be called to the table and I'm going to have to actually deal. And so,
deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just think that you did a really good job. I'm glad that like what you had learned here helped with that.
Yeah, look at us changing lives.
Good God. Even if it's just our own.
Hey, all we, you know, if we change one life, we've done our jobs. And
okay, well, there you go.
If that's ours, so be
Amen.
It.
Amen. Yeah. We don't even know if anyone's listening.
Yeah, is this thing on?
This is like our phone call of the week.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
I had a similar situation. There wasn't like, There hasn't been a specific action that's been taken yet, but I've been kind of grappling. It's a work slash friendship situation for me. And it plays into some other things going on in my life. And when I was talking to Terry, I was really like trying to pick her brain about healthy confrontation, because I know I've definitely played my part in unhealthy confrontation in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it's that I stuff things and then I explode, or I'm just not dealing with things head on, so that I'm like people pleasing and trying to keep everyone happy versus actually just owning my truth, whatever it is, I've definitely contributed. And so I was kind of quizzing her because I don't know exactly how to handle this certain situation. And one of the issues is that the person that I'm in this situation with, I'm not sure how they're going to take it. And right. So like, I feel like I want to tiptoe and I want to, you know, I'm doing the thing where I'm like, well, if I just say it this one right way, like then everything might be fine. And so that puts so much pressure on how I handle it, first of all. But second of all, it's just like, I'm not being authentic again when I'm right. doing that. I'm people pleasing or being codependent or whatever you want to call it. And so I really got to the fact of like, I can only do my part in confrontation in general. Like, I want to make sure that I'm bringing the healthiest version of that, that I can, you know, to the table. But like, the other side of it is the other side of it. And I can't control it. Like, I can't control how that person reacts. I can't control how they take what I say. I can't control what they do with it after. And so I have to release them and know that, like, in my life, I genuinely at this point, at almost 41 next month, by the way.
Cheers to that.
Is it? I'm just kidding. No, I do. I feel good. I love 40s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like at this point in my life, I really don't want relationships, even if they're work or whatever they are, work, friendships, romantic, where healthy confrontation isn't happening, or that confrontation in general is just one-sided. Like, if I can't bring that to the table and it be received, I'm not sure that's a healthy situation for me to be in, period.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you certainly cannot control anyone else's reaction to it. Right. What you control is your method of delivering it, correct, which is going to be with kindness and caring. You can control like when you do it, because timing can be everything. You're sure. not going to want to like do right. it when it's a really bad moment for the person to receive it.
Right. And then drop bombs.
And yeah. And that like, and also too, if you, at the end of it, you can be like, I hope this is something that we can get through. I really value our friendship. Like,
totally.
Then that's all you can do.
And then it's like up to them to take care of their side of the street. It's scary. Right. I would, mm-hmm. I would be lying if I didn't say, especially because of how I've been in the past. You know, I think when you're trying to change behaviors, it feels really uncomfortable at first, but I also feel very at peace. And this month with our topics, it's just really reiterated to me, like, I have to confront my own shit in my own life. And that means good and bad. Like, we've had a lot of other guests, or I've had a lot of the other guests on the Velvet side of things, who have faced challenges or themselves, and just like faced them head on. And they're like, hey, this is what I want for my life. And I feel like very in that time of my life, like, this is what I want for my life. This is the kind of relationships that I want. This is who I want to be. And all I can do is operate that way. And then everything else is up to the universe. So.
Right. Yeah.
We shall see.
I think it's a really powerful, mature place to be. And I know whenever I have someone that comes to me mm-hmm. and maturely confronts something, I always appreciate it.
Me too. And that, but you know, to me, that shows the health of the other person, you know, mm-hmm. or it's like, sometimes we have reactions initially and then we can process through them. But like, if a person isn't capable of that, like, what am I doing? Wasting right. my energy and time? Like, I have spent way too many years trying to like hold the relationship for both people. And I cannot do that anymore.
Right.
Like, it has literally almost killed me. So yeah. So I don't know. It was very freeing when I got to that piece and just kind of like settling into, you know, I can only do my part. We'll see what happens. There right. you go.
There you go.
We did have a couple emails come in that specifically to me asked questions that felt confronting. So should we give the listeners a little advice? We've not done this in a minute. Chip started reading an email as I said that.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
I saw you typing. Don't try to get. Let's confront this.
Okay.
This one came from Megan. She said, "Hi, love your pod. Just ended things with my boyfriend of 3.5 years Any insight on how to move forward, especially with the feeling of shame around being alone, but no, he's not the person for me in your 30s. So she basically got to the point where she's like, this is not my person. Timeline sucks because like time's ticking. I'm sure that's the pressure we feel as women.
Right. Yeah.
You've mentioned before that you don't really relate to this at all.
Well, no, not really. I mean, I can relate to the like being in a relationship where you're like, oh, fuck, this isn't the right thing.
Yeah.
But there being other factors that make it scary to end it, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, I moved here with a boyfriend and we were like living in a house together and it was like,
right.
He was going to be homeless, you know, like,
I know. Yeah.
So, I mean, there are those things that like affect a decision, but, yeah, the ticking time of like, you know, what's it called? Nature's clock. What do you call that?
I sort of feel like this is when you send me like all the memes about vaginas. Like, yes, I love when you try to reference anything about the female. Wait,
what is that called though?
Yeah, like nature, I guess. Like, I actually don't know something what you're referencing.
Clock. Yeah, like your internal clock. Like
internal clock. Maybe that's
yeah,
it.
Whatever.
Biological clock.
Biological clock. That's okay. That's the word.
Ding ding ding.
Ding ding ding. Okay. So yeah, I mean that I don't relate to, but I will say that like as scary as it is, it's a lot scarier to be stuck in a relationship that's not for you.
Amen.
And opening yourself up to the possibility, of finding the right person shouldn't be scary because now you can, you know? So I think you have to look at the positive side of it. And, you know, I know loneliness is a thing, but like, don't feel shame. You should be really proud of yourself
for
taking that step because that is scary.
Yeah. I love that you just said that you shouldn't feel shame because it's like, first of all, I guess the main thing that came up for me when I initially read this was I totally relate. In the 30s specifically, I think that women feel that pressure immensely. Excuse me. Hiccup. They feel it immensely because like in your 20s, it's kind of all fun and games. Like you're just having crushes all the time. Maybe it doesn't feel like it has to be very serious. And then when you get to 30, even it starts to feel a little more like, okay, I can't make the excuse of I'm in my 20s anymore. I don't need to worry about that. I'm just going to have fun. Like you just kind of start to feel like life is a little more serious and you're more of an adult. And so
you
start to look at things a little differently. But the thing about the timelines, and I do get that it's a little more difficult if you want to have kids, but like ultimately the main thing that I've learned is that shit is made up. Like it's beat into our head from day one, but it's just this like human construct that we've created that isn't real. Like everyone in this life is on a different journey. And to try to say that we should live our lives all the same is fucking ridiculous. Like it's just not real. And I'm here to learn my lesson so that my soul can evolve. And so are you. And so is Megan. And so is her ex. And like all the things. And if that relationship served its purpose for the season that it did, that's okay. Like not all relationships are supposed to last forever. And in fact, like most won't, you know, but that doesn't mean it didn't bring something to your life and to your soul for its next evolution. And so I guess if I have to give one advice, it would be to really try to let go of the idea that your life needs to look like anyone else's and just embrace where you are now and like try to stay open to what the universe is bringing to you because you can't bring in new good stuff while you're still holding on to the past. Like, it sounds like that relationship wasn't serving you. So like you said, good for you for letting it go. And you're just opening yourself up to something greater. Like, there's only gifts coming your way. That's how I feel. And especially if you stay open to that. Like I said, about to turn 41. I have absolutely no fear about relationships anymore. It's wild. Like I used to feel like, oh my God, time is ticking. My life is over. I'm never whatever. But like, I don't feel it. And so it's opened my dating life up to so much more fun and joy. And everyone who's come in is teaching me something. And however long they stay, great. And if they need to go, okay. Like it's just, it'll be okay. You know,
right.
If you are worried about kids, go freeze your eggs, start saving your money, start doing like you have options.
Right.
So I would just really try to let go of fitting your life into a little box and like, go do you. This is the time to shine, girl.
Well, yeah. And what when doing yourself, that's when someone's going to see the authentic you.
Yes.
And be like, there's Amen. My girl. Yeah.
Yes. Like getting to know yourself. It's like, I kind of hate when people talk about you can't love anyone else until you love yourself. But I do think the truth in that statement is like, until you know yourself, it is difficult to find a relationship that works for you. You know, because, and that was like a lot of my 30s was I didn't know who the fuck I was at all. I think you guys probably knew me more than I knew me, if that makes sense. Like I'm talking about my friend group. Like y'all could see who I was more than I could. Like I was still testing things out to be like, am I this person? Am I that person? You know, and now I can sit a little more confidently and no, I am this person. Even the bad parts are like the hard parts. And it is interesting, like you said, what it's bringing in is so much more aligned and makes me so much happier than anything else I've had. So
look, you're growing too.
I'm trying. Always. Okay, here's another one. This one comes from Nikki. She said, I'm sorry, I was trying to write an email. She slid into my DMs. I feel like I or my job is attracting so many people that quote unquote want things from me, or I find out months later, friendships were purely one-sided so they could enjoy the perks. I even had an old friend call me out online for not helping her business with my job. I mean, apparently I'm doing something right that people want from me, but they don't invite me, trying to connect because I make things happen. So basically she's feeling used is the summary of that. But I feel like I'm getting played more and more. I love connecting with people like you say, Kelly, but lately the balance is off. I don't want to be the planner all the time and work and play. I guess it would be like if every person you come into contact with constantly ask you if their outfit was good. That's funny because people do ask me if I look at that and I'm like, nope, I'm not worried about you. I invite people to my work events because I can, but not everyone gets that invite. But I let a friend go because she made judgy comments about me while I was in work mode. I had to stop because having her company while out was becoming hurtful. My true friends say you need a micro celebrity boot camp. Everybody wants to be with you, but I feel like I'm not screening situations well. Help. You might deal with this a little bit in your job.
Yeah.
Chip.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, potentially I do. I feel like I surround myself with good people.
You do.
That have like gotten, I mean, probably the worst culprit though would be my sister, but okay. I don't ever feel like she's using me, you know, like I just think
hard
that like
it's your sister. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I think the one thing she doesn't recognize is that like any favor that I ask on her behalf is one less favor that I can ask for myself.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, but I'm happy to like, I want to get her whatever she wants, you know, like I'm happy to do that. So I haven't really, it's been very rare that I've felt that I'm being used. But the interesting thing is like, sometimes in like the dating space, I definitely have recognized when I am trying to like use it to my advantage too, you know?
Oh, the twist.
And yeah. So, and sometimes that's dangerous because then ultimately you feel like you're being, if you're not clicking, you're like, no, they're just using me, you know?
And sure. Yeah. But then ultimately you were the one who started
it. I was the one that started it. So, I think we're all a little guilty of it because I think sometimes that, you know, it's really important with work to not let your work define who you are.
So much easier said than done.
I know. And in those instances, that's like me being like, part of me is like the special access that I can get you. And that's not me. You know, if this person's not going to like me, they're not going to like me. If they're going to like me, they're going to like me.
Sure.
No matter what I do. The other stuff is just like icing.
Yeah.
So I do think it's important for Nikki to like remember that like her job isn't what she does or isn't who she is. And if she feels like anyone in her life is starting to look at her as her job, then it's probably a good time to stop inviting them to do the fun things that your job, you know, entitles you to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that people stop associating, and then like your real friends will appreciate the time away from work with you a lot more.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
I mean, for us, working in music, a lot of what I like to do in my free time is go to see shows. You know, it's just what I love to do. So it's harder for me because I don't think of those as like work things. I think of those as things that I'm getting to do, and I want some friends to come along with me. So it's a little bit different.
But don't you feel like for the most part, like you would be talking about when you say friends, you're talking about our friend group.
A lot of coworkers.
And coworkers. And it's like people that we've been friends with for so long that I think we've developed the relationship ahead of time. So like,
right.
I guess my point is saying like, you made a great point when you said, I have to realize when I'm leading with that in dating because right. I don't know these
That's
people
a new
yet.
Person.
Like
yeah.
you
That's
have to kind of earn that sort, that space in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
I love that point. I think that is really great. And also like I do talk about this a lot where I feel like I can get in that one-sided dynamic where everyone just like wants something from me, but like ultimately that's on me. It always right. goes back to me. Like if I have actually had a couple friends going through really hard times, and I have myself have had a lot on my plate. And so I've had to really like catch myself because I can start overgiving and taking on their problems as my own because I do want to help them. They're people that I love. But if it's taking away, like if it's giving so much energy that I'm not able to function in my own life, that's not good for either of us.
Right.
Like, and I know they wouldn't ultimately want me to do that. And so that's when I have to start setting boundaries. Mostly the boundaries are with myself, if I'm being really honest. Like, I feel like most of my friends are very accepting of me, like, needing to stay at a boundary. It's mostly, like, I have to watch myself, sort of like what you're saying with the dating, to where I'm holding true to myself and my schedule and my needs first. And then when my cup is full, saying, okay, like, what can I do? Because if we're depleted and we're on empty, like we're no good for anyone else either. So I think it's like a multiple thing. It's like, don't lead with that. Like you said, like let people earn that space in your life. And then also if you continuously are finding this dynamic, like it might be time to look at why or like how much you're giving in a relationship. And if you're holding boundaries with yourself or kind of, cause I think kind of like we'll keep attracting the same thing until we learn the lesson.
Right.
So
right.
like,
exactly.
If you're continuously in that, then there's something the universe is trying to show you. So, mm-hmm. That's what I got on that one.
There you go.
It's always about looking in the fucking mirror, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
Man, it's tricky. It's tricky.
Well, especially when it's something that is habitual is not the word. If it's you're seeing it come up a lot in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Then I think it's important to look in the mirror and be like, well, maybe it's not.
What's the common denominator
blame.
Here?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Like I talked about that with Terry, too. Should we, you know, our instinct as humans is to always look at the other person. It's so much easier to put blame. Like, especially when we're confronting new issues in our life, it's just like, well, they did this, but like, what's your part in it? And that's not to say they're not doing anything. You just can't control them. So right. You can only control yourself. Anyway, that's our advice.
That's our advice. On that.
Uh-huh. Do you have anything else? I can't even say it without laughing now. Do you have anything else you want to give to the people about this month of confrontation or confronting?
No, I'll just reiterate to like, remember to be as kind as possible when confronting things, whether it's to yourself or to others.
Yeah. And if you guys haven't listened to the Terry podcast yet, she gave an amazing example of how she confronted something with her husband that I loved. Like she sat with it for a minute until she couldn't, like something kept coming up for her. She sat with it to try to figure out, but it was a behavior he was doing, but it was about something in her. And she never actually figured out exactly what it was with her, but the way she approached the conversation with him was with so much ownership and then just asking for what you need. And I just loved it. It like really helped me. So go check out that podcast with Terry Cole. We also just had a bunch of fun guests on. I did tell you, the one thing popping up in my life, and we're not going to get to this topic today, but if anyone else has any thoughts on this Al Pacino situation,
oh, Lord.
I can't get off it. Like I literally cannot get off the fact that this 83-year-old man just had a baby with a 29-year-old. I'm shook.
Yeah.
Nobody, yeah. There's one person in my life who gave me the reaction I wanted. And everyone else is kind of like, why do you care?
I mean, that's kind of where I said it's like, why do I care? But it's
I
also
just care
like,
a lot. I don't know why, but
I'm just, he's 83. Like,
I can't believe he can still get it up.
I know. Well, I'm sure there's a pill involved, but
maybe,
but like his sperm is still good. It's the baby.
That's
healthy.
The fucked up thing about life. The men can have kids until literally the day they die.
That's
and we
wild.
Literally have a geriatric pregnancy at the age of 35. Don't even get me started on this topic.
Don't even get me started.
This is like a whole other hour. We don't
it
have the
wild.
Time. Yeah, it's so, it is literally, like, it's why you guys don't feel the pressure. I mean, like, I know you're in a gay relationship, and so I think it's a little different. But in hetero relationships, like, there's so much of that Peter Pan syndrome. And guys are like, what's the rush? And we're like, there's such a rush. Like,
right.
We have to live in the rush, you know, we're forced to. And so we're also forced, I think, to grow up a lot faster in a lot of ways. But
right.
Yeah, if I was a dude, I'd be like, whoa, I can have a baby at 83, bitch.
Oh, God. I mean, it's but like maybe it is a self-preservation thing, too, because women take on so much work in the role of being a mother. Could you imagine if you were a new mother at 85 years old?
You couldn't be.
You couldn't. You couldn't.
I think
or
I'd
a dad
tired
can
now.
Just like go watch TV and like a normal, you know, at any age, right. That's what they're doing. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And that's, I'm stereotyping. I know it's not every dad, but
how hands-on you think Al Pacino is? Let's talk.
Does he know the kid's name?
Who knows?
He probably will have trouble remembering it at that age. So
I just,
this
it's
is number
like,
four.
Oh my God. His kids, his other kids are older than his new baby mama.
Yeah.
I'm being so judgy right now. I know. It's just one of those topics that I like saw the headline this week and I like skipped past it. And then I was scrolling more and then I was like, wait, what? And I went back and I went on such a deep dive of that girl because everyone too was like, well, money can buy a lot or whatever. That girl's rich. She's
yeah.
like a royal. They have billions of dollars. She doesn't need money. Also, Guess who she dated before Al Pacino?
Who?
Mick Jagger in his 70s.
Wow. She likes an old man. At least she's consistent.
I mean, she doesn't even have daddy issues. She has granddaddy issues. That's
right.
How it feels. I just like there's, I don't know. I know way too much about this family now, but
yeah, <I'm> like...
her sister dated Prince Michael Jackson, Prince Jackson.
Oh, really?
Do you have any questions about this family? You guys email me at theedge at velvetsedge.com because I know everything.
You're being casual.
I'm trying. My brain sometimes just won't let me be. Anyway, like I said, you can email us at theedge@velvetsedge.com. You can also hit me up on Instagram. I'm at velvetsedge. Chip?
I'm at Chip Dorsch. It's ChipDorsch.
And as you guys are going into the weekend and you're living on the edge, I hope you can remember to do this way more than I can. And always remember to
act casual.
Wow, you really made us like wait for that one.
Wow, I did.
You kind of cut out like, too, so it was like casual.
I think maybe I got too loud. Mic drop. Mm. Okay. Mm. All right.
Bye. Bye.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.